I'm the kind of person who generally likes to prepare more for sermons. I tend to think about, you know, like, how will I start this? And on some weeks, I mentally say, well, let's see, we're going to be singing, then we're going to have communion, then children go upstairs. Today, children are staying downstairs. But, you know, I think through, and I'm just kind of generally a person who's prepared. And as I stood over here worshiping this morning, I realized I shouldn't have even come up with an introduction. I shouldn't have even thought about where to begin, because it happened when I saw two children, Judah and the little girl in the back there. Hi. I saw them come forward, and they were up here dancing, jumping around, and then they were like, you know what? You know, and they're up here, you know, and they're like looking at the light, and I'm like, that's it. Because I had thought through and really tried to be prepared, because I care about this part of worship. But the Holy Spirit was already active, already saying, because the scripture that I want to teach, I had all these other things I was going to say, but you've seen a living demonstration of the difference between kids and adults. I don't know why you didn't do it, but none of you who were adults got out of your seats and like went up there and sort of bumped into the musicians and like, you know, shuffled around and like interrupted the chord changes and the singing. And like, you know, got back there and like behind the thing with Luke, you know, nobody's like, none of us were doing that. We just stayed in our seats. But children were like, that's cool. I want to go up there. I don't know why. They just headed on up there like they owned the place. You know, I can dance up here if I want to. I can look at the back of the cross if I want to. I can pull on mommy's shirt if I want to. I'll just do whatever. Just, you know, just going to go do it. There's something to be learned from that. And that's this. I've got this slide up here. Unexpected discipleship. There are a lot of things that I've learned in my Christian life. I started going to church when I was in high school. I am the disaster turned pastor, to borrow Emilio's phrase. Like, sorry for those of you who didn't know it, but you know, now it's a done deal. Disaster turned pastor. Like, I was not explicitly like doing all this kind of Christian behavior through my childhood and my teenage years, but I get to high school, a friend I'm hanging out with says, what are you doing later? I say, nothing. He says, why don't you come to my church? So I go to his church. It starts to change my life. It's a long story. Hopefully someday I can share the whole thing. But, you know, I had no clue about like being a pastor or being a Christian or anything else. But along the way, late in high school, a little bit of my 20s, I started to piece together, oh, there's like Christian things. The word disciple I learned is like a person who follows Jesus and becomes more like him. So I kind of picked up on like, okay, this is what these Christians are doing. They pray. That's like this thing. Okay, well, I don't know how to do that. But like I've started to figure out prayer. Then I figured out. But read the Bible. Go to a building called the church on Sunday morning and sing songs. Give my money in certain ways as an act of worship to God. Like all these sorts of things. But there's all this other stuff that comes with following Jesus, which I'm calling unexpected discipleship, because nobody talks about it. And this morning, one of them is, act like little kids. Act like little kids. So this morning, we're going to learn from little kids. We're going to study different Bible passages along the way in future weeks. But I think God has more for us than just religious habits. And more for us than just the things that we think. I'm encouraging you to keep praying, keep reading your Bible, keep coming into this building on Sunday morning and worshiping Him, keep giving your offerings to the Lord as an act of worship. Those Christian activities are absolutely in His will. They're absolutely in the Word. Please keep doing them. These are other things you might not have been taught. When I read this, and you'll see over the coming weeks, but things happen like disciples go out to serve Jesus and then they fail. Well, that's unexpected discipleship. Like, they went out to help Jesus do his mission, but they fail, and they run into all kinds of problems. Well, what's that about? Well, another thing is the Bible talks about, like, confessing your sins to one another. Well, that doesn't exactly happen. I haven't practiced that yet this morning. Maybe you have, but I haven't really practiced that one. But we're going to look at that in future weeks. But right now, the kiddos have something to teach us. So I want you to act like a kid. Stand up out of your seats. Act like a kid. Stand up out of your seats. This goes for those of you on Facebook, too. So, yeah, exactly, right? We got to listen. We got to be listeners, right? We got to be listeners. So that's proof positive. Some of you need to do a little dancing. Maybe some of you are inclined to do jumping jacks. If you're on Facebook, we don't know what you're going to do, but you're expected to stand up. You're part of the church. So there you go. Now, You have 5 seconds. My children are going to take 2 minutes. You have 5 seconds, ideally. So now's a good time to dance, do jumping jacks. Let's go. Move around. Move around. Just be squirmy. Don't pull something. Don't get injured. You can hug. Sure, that's fine. I'm seeing... That's unexpected discipleship. Yeah, absolutely. Choke your dad. That's a good one. That's a good one. All right. So... those of you who are overachievers, keep it going. Young children, you're invited to run around. Those of you who didn't get enough, we're going to do this again. So you may now be seated again. Those of you who are listening, you can definitely be seated. What you just did is what happens in Matthew chapter 19. If you like to read along, you can turn to Matthew chapter 19. That's where we'll be reading this morning. So we're going to start with verse 19. Of Matthew, sorry, verse 13 of Matthew 19. Okay. Matthew 19, 13. I know it's hard when you've been jumping around. Some of you are catching your breath. Some of you are like, can I not, why did I have to stop? Verse 13 says, then some children were brought to Jesus so that he might lay his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, let the children alone. Do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. After laying his hands on them, he departed from there. What happens before this, I'm not going to read you, it's pretty long, but verses 1 through 12 have got adults who get into this big theological conversation. There's Jesus, there's the disciples, there's Pharisees, and these people... I mean, these children come up in the middle of this conversation. So what you just heard is actually in the middle of a conversation with adults, and they're having this big conversation. They're talking about marriage. They're talking about divorce. They're talking about what Moses wrote thousands of years before, and all this big, heavy conversation. And then these children come up, and the disciples, I'm going to need that page. And then the disciples sort of push these children away, and they're trying to, like, get them to just say, children, you got to go somewhere else, which is convenient timing. But children, you got to go somewhere else. And I'm not actually saying that to my kids because, hey, this is Family Sunday, so this is all right. But there's all this stuff going on, and it took 12 verses in the Bible, in Matthew 19, it took 12 verses to explain how the Pharisees and Jesus and the disciples are having this big conversation about all this heavy stuff. And then it took 3 verses for Jesus to say, let the little children come to me. And the disciples were rebuking them, and they're going back and forth, and there's all this stuff going on back and forth. But that just took 3 verses. Because there's lots of long conversations and heavy stuff and big, long, all this kind of stuff with debates and discussions. And what's interesting is that the spirituality of the kids is so different than the spirituality of the Pharisees. The Pharisee spirituality is to start a discussion while Jesus is transforming lives. The part that I didn't tell you is before Jesus has this big conversation with the Pharisees about marriage and Mosaic law, Jesus has a large crowd of people following him. People are being healed. Their lives are being changed. Great things happen. And right in the middle of it, some adults say, well, let's have a conversation about 1,500-year-old ideas about marriage. And discussions are good. They have their place. The question's okay, but it leaves me wondering why, when Jesus is changing lives, do people just want to have a big conversation about a hard topic? Like, that could probably wait, you know? Like, let's do that later. And then in the middle, though, kids being what they are, just like, we're showing up now because we just want to know what's going on. And it's like a divine redirection for these kids to show up, and it gives Jesus a great opportunity to show what he actually cares about. Now, all people chase rabbit trails. All people get distracted. They go down side conversations. They get into discussions. They get all kinds of off topic. And that's okay. That happens to all of us. Jesus handles that with grace. But Jesus also brings us back to the point. Come to me. Jesus says, let people come to me. So discussions happen, but God's priority remains. The thing God actually cares about is let people come to me. So were people following him and getting healed and getting lives changed? Yep. Was there this distraction by a legitimate discussion? Perhaps. But Jesus says, let people come to me. That's the point. Let people come to me. Good things can turn into distractions. And as adults, I get distracted by messes and mistakes and mysteries and start to have all these questions of my own and all these things going through my brain. I was walking down the street with my kids not that long ago, and there's sort of a garden hose coming out of the yard, and it's like pumping water out. Well, my thought is, where's that water coming from, and why is it like running down the street, and it's like flooding the street? I mean, there's a big like shallow lagoon in the street where I live in West Yarmouth, and I'm like, what's that about? These are my thoughts. My kids are like, let's roll in it, you know? Let's dive in. Let's ride our bikes through it. Let's swim, you know? And I'm like, I don't know what's coming out of the hose. We're not going to be getting in it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know where this water's coming from. We're not going to, like, just swim in this lagoon in the middle of the road here. There's all these distractions, all these mysteries, all these things we don't know. My brain is an adult. That's what I'm supposed to do, is say, like, we're not going to crawl in the, you know, this lake of stuff. But Scripture challenges us a little bit right here. For those of us who are adults, it doesn't challenge our children, but it challenges those of us who are adults. We have to get a little bit uncomfortable. These disciples in verse 13, if you look back at verse 13, these disciples get rebuked by Jesus when they say, stay away, children. Stay back. Jesus is busy. We're in the middle of a big conversation. The kids interrupt them. And the disciples rebuke the kids, tell the kids, stay back, get out of the way, stay out of this conversation, don't be part of this. And Jesus turns around and rebukes his disciples. Now that hurts. That's kind of like, ouch. Wait a minute. It's okay if he rebukes the Pharisees, right, who started this whole big discussion. Or the disciples might have thought, well, they rebuked the kids, you know, but he rebukes the disciples. And it leaves me sitting here. I was reading this week, and I'm thinking, wait a minute. This is the same disciples that the Bible says left everything to follow Jesus. So the disciples leave everything to follow Jesus, and then they're trying to be on his mission. They're trying to do what he wants. And when little kids come along and they say, hey, we're busy right now, we're doing Jesus' mission, they get rebuked. Doesn't being born again mean that you've got your act together and you're flying right and living straight and doing good things? Like, Jesus rebukes the disciples. Well, the disciples are getting it wrong all the time. And rebuking is a key to their transformation. They needed to get rebuked, and that's uncomfortable. And I would say to you, would you be brave? Not with me. No, you don't have to be brave with me. But would you be brave enough with Jesus in the middle of this worship service, or later when we're finishing up the sermon and we have a response time, you might think, what would Jesus need to rebuke me over? Is there anything, and that's what I'm saying, you don't have to do it with me. Just, is there anything between you and Jesus that he'd say, you're on my mission, but I need to rebuke you about something? I need to confront you about something. I need to challenge you because you're not exactly on my plan right now. I know you're probably not thrilled about that. Not what I woke up this morning wanting to do either, but I'm, you know, listening along here. It's part of what we have to do. It's on the pages of Scripture. People who are following Jesus have to live with the Jesus of the Bible, not the Jesus of their own imagination or the Jesus of their own comfort, but the Jesus who's right here. Now, in the disciples' case, Jesus rebukes them when they're more interested in their discussions than they are with people coming to God. That's why he rebukes these disciples. They embrace the wrong priorities, and Jesus rebukes them. But it's actually a good thing, because when we go wrong, we have a God who loves us enough to say, you've gone wrong. Shift your focus, shift your attention. You need to say different words. You need to take different actions. You need to see this situation differently. The nature of human beings is to wander off course, to drift, to get distracted, to do things a little bit off. It happened with Adam and Eve. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, he leads me, right? That's the idea, Psalm 23. We need a shepherd to lead us. Isaiah 53:6, being creative, Isaiah 53:6 says, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Just this idea. I mean, you've ever watched sheep wander through pastures, the sheep just kind of wander around. This is human nature. And when we do, Jesus rebukes us. And it's tense and embarrassing. I mean, think for a second. You're a disciple. You've left everything to follow him. You're in front of Pharisees and you're in front of little kids. And Jesus looks at you and starts to rebuke you. I mean, I'd be like, Jesus, could you have not done that in front of my kids? Like, I'm a grown-up. I don't want to get rebuked in front of little children. I want to keep my image up. I want to look smart. Like, Jesus, you know, maybe we could have done that privately without, like, the kids, you know? That's kind of embarrassing to get, like, rebuked for being a bad-behaved person, like, in front of kids. Jesus, you know, could you, you know? Or the Pharisees. Like, the disciples are trying to follow a different way of spiritual faith than that of the Pharisees. And here they are getting rebuked in front of the Pharisees. It's like, it's double bad. It's like, man, the kids are more spiritually right than I am. The Pharisees are watching me get rebuked by Jesus. Like, this is awful. This is not like how I wanted to live. I don't want to get rebuked in front of all these people. Here's the good news, though. Jesus knows how to handle every mess, every mystery, every mistake. I heard Angela saying this as we were singing in worship. Jesus handles our messes. As our worship service went on, I was temporarily, partially just thinking to myself, I feel like most of my sermon is like done. Kids are up here dancing around, they're worshiping, they're having a great time, they're jumping, they're clapping, they're looking at the cross. You know, they're just, it's great. And I'm like, wow. And then Angela reads Colossians 1, and I'm like, well, I was going to read that too. But I mean, you know, I think God's like just ready to get this whole thing started. So he's letting the little children come to him way before I get up here. We're reading Colossians 1 way before I get up here. Jesus can handle every mess, every mystery, every mistake. Even when the disciples botch this, you know, even when they mess this thing up, Jesus acts with confidence and clarity. He knows exactly what to do to handle the situation. He says, let the children come to me. I want to say to you, there's a part of you that, as an adult, I'm preaching to the adults this morning because the kids have already got this figured out. As an adult, some of you might think, Jesus is too busy for me to come to him. Jesus has too much going on. I'm an adult. I'm not supposed to interrupt him with my stuff. And that's exactly the opposite of what Jesus says. He's never too busy to say, come to me. He's never doing something too important or having a conversation that's too long or too serious or too biblical or too heavy or too intellectual to just say, come to me. In fact, with these kids, he stops all of that and says, come to me. He says, my purpose isn't to just discuss Old Testament scriptures. My purpose isn't to, you know, help the Pharisees. My purpose isn't to be with the, you know, disciples who need to get rebuked again. It's like, no. Come to me. Come talk to me. I'm right here. Talk to me. The real Jesus, the man born in Nazareth to a virgin who lived a sinless life, he knows exactly, wisely, sensitively, caringly, he knows exactly what to say to you. So you can turn to him at any moment, and he's ready. You can be dancing when everybody else is serious and be like, Jesus, I just wanted to talk to you. And he's like, okay, I'm right here. How can I help? I don't care about that other stuff. I came for you. Take comfort. Take hope. Take what you need. There's this whole other alternate reality, and I struggle as an adult on a daily basis to realize, wait a minute, I could talk to Jesus about this right now. I could talk to God the Father right now. I just have to act like a little kid right now who's like, hey, I know all this stuff's going on, but I want to talk to you, God. I want to be part of whatever I need to be part of, and it's amazing to think about. If you take a second, think about all the things that Jesus overcome. If you've been reading the Bible for a long time, you probably know that in Genesis 3, sin entered creation. Sin started to like ruin human lives and destroy everything and mess everything up. And there was a flaming sword that guarded the Garden of Eden and kept people out. And there was a flood. And there's human brokenness and Cain and Abel, just to give two examples. Right? There's all this stuff. And then you go all the way down. And there's people in slavery in Egypt who get rescued by God. And they become a new nation. And on and on. You just think about all the hard stuff in the Bible. Jesus fought through all of that to make a way. The perfect plan of God to make a way that we could come to him. He overcame all of that. He knew all of that. He understands all those difficulties. Jesus knows how to handle every mess, every mystery, every mistake, every struggle. He can handle all of it. Yes, his power and his wisdom and his grace are so great. Wherever sin abounded, grace abounds all the more. So yep, sin's abounding. I just told you. Newsflash, sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Jesus' main priority is helping people come to him. And yeah, there's thorny theological discussions. Okay. And there's little children. And what I think is really interesting about these little children is it won't surprise you, little children cannot answer hard theological questions. As adults, it's pretty difficult. But if I was to raise my hand and say, I'm trying to understand what Moses taught about marriage and And I'm trying to make sense of that now, like in 2024 in Cape Cod. Can we like figure that out together? That would be, I mean, that's a lot, right? It's a little bit tricky. Little kids who just come up to Jesus can't answer questions like that. I don't even think they can participate in the discussion. I think they'd be like, who's Moses? You know, which is not like a helpful question to move the conversation forward. But that's the kind of little kids we're talking about. I don't even think they knew what marriage was. I don't think they knew what the Pharisees were. They probably pulled up on them and were like, hey, look at that cool coat, you know, and his shoes are different than my shoes. And then kids being what they would be like, this is where I got my shoes. My mom made my clothes. And the Pharisees are like, okay, we're talking about Moses right now. Yeah, I know, but look at my shoes. You know, isn't that what little kids do?
Yeah,
that's right. And Jesus cares for them, and he gives them his attention, and he doesn't care if they don't know who Moses is or what the answers to the questions are or all the rest. He says, hey, those are awesome shoes. Look at mine, right? This is a Jesus who knows how to get along with children. And as Angela read earlier, Colossians 1:15 says, Christ is the image of the invisible God. In other words, what you see in Scripture from Christ is the image of the invisible God. So God himself is saying, let little children come to me. Let people who can't answer hard theological questions come to me. Let people who don't know what Moses said about marriage come to me. Let people who can't figure out these big, heavy, tough topics just come to me. Just come to me. You don't even have to be at the conversation. Just come to me. Isn't that wonderful news? Jesus is always available, always makes time for his people. Jesus lays his hands on these kids. He prays for them. He says, I want to bless them. I want to pray for them. And then he says, the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. The kingdom of heaven belongs to people like this who would just come to me and say, grab a hold of me. That reminds me, we've been sitting a long time, so I need you to stand up again. Oh, you're a little faster this time. We're learning. They're listening. They're listening. This is good. So what Jesus does is he hugs these little kids. So you need to think about somebody that you can embrace. And not a chokehold, by the way, just to be clear. I saw a little choking here. Some lovely, friendly hugging. Some embracing. It can be a handshake. I know some of us, I'm not a big hugger, but handshakes are welcome. Just some sort of... Nope, not a chokehold. We already went through this. I know you two love each other.
Everybody in the whole church.
You're going to hug everybody in the whole church. See, that's just like a little child. Facebook, we're hugging you too. We're hugging you too. Hugs all around. Hugs all around. When you've... Here come the hugs. When your hug quotient or your handshake, you know, quota gets reached, you're welcome to sit down. You can also just stand because you like to stand, you know what I mean? But that's, so as the hugs and the handshakes go around, I want to drive home the idea that Jesus included children in his kingdom. And these kids coming to Jesus, they were most likely young kids. Some of these kids may not have even been able to walk or really independently move around. It's not like totally clear to me from studying the scripture, but these are young kids who just end up, I mean, at the least, they're small enough that Jesus can hold them in his arms. That's a pretty small child that a man can pick up and hold in his arms. And that's the kind of kids we're talking about. And Jesus blessed these kids. He said, these kids are in my kingdom, like right now. Not big theological discussions about have they made a public profession of faith or have they been baptized or have they, you know, can they explain the gospel in less than 2 minutes? Have they been reading the Bible and praying and giving? No, they're children. He can hold them in his arms and he says they're in my kingdom. Why? Because they came to him. And if they're adults, they'll work all that out over time. But right now it's just I'm holding them in my arms and they're in my kingdom. Why? Because they came to me and I can save everybody. That's the message of Jesus. They came to me, and I can save everybody. As adults, I know we have all kinds of thoughts. I do too. But Jesus is saying, come to me. I can save everybody. And I would encourage you as parents, because part of the background of this verse is parents are bringing their children to Jesus, young children. I would encourage you to think, how as a parent can I bring my children, how as a grandparent can I bring my grandchildren to Jesus? He's not in the room physically, so you can't do exactly what we see here. But I'll say this, churches for a long time, including this one, feel very comfortable to say that children might want to be presented before the Lord, that the church gathered can be a group of people who would say to Jesus, we want your blessing on this child. We want to pray over this child. We want to present this child to the Lord. And God has his own plans for every child. So there's, again, it's a mystery to us as adults, but I invite you as parents and grandparents just to be aware of that opportunity. If you think that's something you'd like to do with children who can't make, you know, if you're young enough here, you can make spiritual decisions for yourselves. You guys are here talking to us about youth for Christ. You're way past the standpoint of like little kids that Jesus can hold in his arms. But for kids who are much younger than that, we have an opportunity as parents to bring our kids to the Lord and present them. We can do it in a church setting. So that's an option. You can talk to me about that another time. But just know that there's something for you as parents and as grandparents to think, how would I present my children to Jesus? How would I bring my children to Jesus and say, Jesus, pray for my children. Jesus, bless my children. Jesus, have mercy on my children. Lastly, last thing I want to share with you this morning is when you grow up, be a child. When you grow up, be a child. I heard the quote recently where I didn't have time this week to look it up. I think it was Joseph Heller, this author, but I'm pretty sure it's Joseph Heller. But he says, when I grow up, I want to be a child. And I'm saying, when you grow up, at least spiritually, be a child. Amen. When you grow up, be a child. Because the path into the kingdom belongs to people who couldn't possibly get themselves there. These are the children that Jesus can hold in his arms. So they cannot do all kinds of, you know, religious, spiritual, theologically sound, wise behaviors and, you know, check all the boxes, right? Jesus talking to the Pharisees, Jesus talking to the disciples. He ignores both of them and rebukes the disciples and says, let the children come to me. Being in God's family is for the very people who have no potential to actually get themselves in. All they do is come to Jesus. This is why the story is about kingdom belonging to little children. They could just be held in his arms. If you want to be something other than dead in your sins, be a child. If you want to have a future in the kingdom, be like a child. It was uncomfortable to think earlier that Jesus rebuked his disciples. It's true that Jesus rebukes his disciples, but it's also true that he will always save you. He may rebuke you, but he will always save you. And the only people who get in the kingdom are those who can't get in the kingdom any other way except coming to Jesus. And they get in. Jesus compares these particular people in the kingdom to people who can't change their own diaper. Think about for a second. Like, I know you've probably heard this before, but honestly, think about this. Jesus is holding people in his arms, saying they will be in the kingdom. They cannot change their own diaper. They are scared of the dark. They cannot feed themselves. They cannot make their own food. We are talking about young children here. They can do nothing for themselves practically. Very, very little for themselves. They are very dependent. They can't drive to work. They can't tie their shoes. They can't give 10% of their income because they have no income. These are young enough kids, just give me, give me, give me, give me, because that's how they survive. They cry out, I need a diaper change. I'm scared of the dark. Leave the night light on, please. And Jesus says, the light of the world has come. Just come to me. You don't have to do anything for me. You can't do anything for me. All you got to do is just come. And Jesus bends down to these demanding, needy little people who can't make contributions to world peace or anything else, and he scoops them up in his arms, and he prays for them, and he blesses them, and he says, the kingdom of heaven belongs to you. Growing up, I saw my parents, my grandparents, other people in my family, they'd be really hard workers, and I'm honoring them. Like, I mean, up late at night, up early in the morning, chopping firewood, doing hard work all the time. And then they kind of used this language, pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps was like this language that we would use for talking about that kind of hard work. There's a place for that, but hard work, pulling yourself up by the bootstraps, is not the path into the kingdom. And then I moved here 4 years ago, and I started to hear, I mean, you know, I was washing ashore, as we say, So I move here 4 years ago. I'm a wash ashore, and I start to hear that there's these families that have been on Cape Cod since 16 whatever. And they'll say, you know, my ancestor from long ago was Bradford or Nickerson or Snow. I started to hear these names. Maybe these are in your families. I'm not sure. But these families that just go back forever, way back. And it's like a thing to know your history and to say, we were here since wherever. And my aunt, you know, settled this village, which became this town and all this type of thing. But there's only one name that means anything in the kingdom. And it's the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. And here, you know, we can tell the history of our names, or my family can talk about pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps, but there's only one name that matters in the kingdom. You know, there's this great joke. You've heard this. You have my permission to tell it this week. I don't know enough of the jokes. I don't remember, but I've heard these jokes. Like, when you get to heaven, you'll go up to the gate, and St. Peter will be there, and he'll say, like, why should I let you in? You know, you heard these jokes, right? There are all kinds of great ones. I wish I could remember some of the punchlines right now. But there's all these ones, like, you know, St. Peter, why should I let you in? Well, you know, and it's funny, and we laugh at them, and I encourage you to look them up, tell the jokes this week, as long as they're, you know, reasonably not creating a gospel barrier for somebody. But the reality is, when you get to heaven, St. Peter's not going to be standing there saying, why should I let you in? And there's not going to be a gate that you have to, like, approach and demonstrate your validity. The gate is Jesus. Like, that's the gate. No St. Peter, no questions, no jokes, just the gate of Jesus. And you've either already gone through it and said, I'm a little child coming to Jesus. Here I am. And you'll find that the gate's open and you go on into heaven, you know. Jesus said to a man crucified beside him, today you'll be with me in paradise. That's somebody else who came like a little child. When you're being crucified next to Jesus, you don't have time to set up direct deposit for tithing. You know, when you're being crucified next to Jesus, you can't say, listen, I've been listening to a lot of bad music, but I promise to get rid of all those MP3s. Like, you know, I've been, you know, doing things on my phone I shouldn't have been doing, and been mean to my neighbor, but I'm going to, you know, you don't have time for that. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. So when you approach the outskirts of heaven, there's going to be the gate of Jesus, and those who came to him like little children are going to go right through it. Amen. We say amen and we celebrate it, but in truth, this can be challenging for us. Personally, we can be like, I think I got to do some good stuff. And there are really smart people who would say, let's, you know, we got to like argue about it, and what about bad behaviors, and what about this, and what about that? But the scriptures are so clear that the gospel is you're saved by grace through faith. Paul realized it. He wrote the church in Ephesus a letter. He said, you're saved by grace through faith. Those are the exact same words. You trust Jesus, the grace saves you, and that's the end of it. Do you work hard? Do you live for him? Do you pray, read the Bible, go to church? All these? Yes, absolutely, sure. All that's acts of obedience, and those are wonderful things. But the only person who gets into the kingdom is the person who says, I've got no merit, no skill, no competency, no right to be here, but I'm coming to Jesus. And he says, come on in. Come on in. When you grow up, be a child. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. If you feel like your spiritual path is on that level of, let's have hard discussions, you know, what does the Mosaic, you know, there's a place for study in the Old Testament. Absolutely. I study it. I read it. I believe it. But do you sound more like an adult or do you sound more like a kid? And as we continue in worship and we spend some time right now just thinking through these things and you think about how might this apply to me, I'd encourage you to think, what have I learned about God today? What have I learned about myself today? And maybe one of the things you can think about is, this week, am I like the children? Because I hope you, I kind of hope you remember the sermon, but I also kind of know you're probably going to forget it. But what I hope you don't forget is the sight of children who didn't care what the rules were, and they just said, I'm going to run up there around the cross and just dance around and worship and jump around and worship because I'm just in the Lord's house. I'm in the Lord's family. I'm in the Lord's presence, and there's no rules. I'm just going up there, and I just want to talk to Jesus, and I'll dance and sing and jump around and clap, and I don't care what all the... That's you. That's life in the kingdom. I know this week you're going to do your jobs, you're going to, you know, start doing landscaping because it's April if it ever dries out, and all these kind of adult things are going to happen. But in your heart, take some time to say, let me be like a little child. We had some moments as a family this week where it was like making me want to pull my hair out. And then in the middle of that, one of my kids comes up and I'm like, you know, ready to pull my hair out literally, and one of my kids comes up and is like, hey, let's play a game. like brings me the board game, you know, and I'm like, you know what? Forget it. I'm playing the game, you know, just forget it all. I like my choice is either pull my hair out and scream and then have to go apologize to the Father, right, for not being like Jesus, or I'll just play the game. Well, when you come to Jesus, just be a kid. Just be a kid. Let's spend some time in response to the Lord, and I'll come back in a few minutes and we can pray and finish our time in worship.
So I throw my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king. Except for a heart singing hallelujah, Jesus, you welcome us in. Our home is in your presence. You're all we need. So God, come and be with us. Big words like justified by faith. All it means is, child, come rest here in my arms. Come be here, embraced in my. Closer than a brother, a father, kinder than anyone you know. That's my Jesus. That's my Jesus. So I'll throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart. Singing hallelujah.
prayer, I join you. I'm going to pray for you as we continue to spend time with him. Jesus, I love the people around me, and they love each other and they love you. I know that last week they had challenges, and maybe last month too. This week I hope they don't have any challenges. I pray they don't. But when they do, or if they do, I pray that they'd be just like little children who'd say, let me go talk to Jesus about this. And I pray that when life gets really serious and there's hard questions and there's things that's like, that's good for discussion. Yeah, that'd be good. I pray that instead they just go, man, Jesus can handle every mistake, every mystery, every mess, every misery, every struggle. Jesus can handle it all. And just that'd be enough for us, because that's how we grow up to be the little children. As we go, Jesus can handle my messes and the mysteries and the mistakes. And this is where unexpected discipleship begins for us, is regaining childlike faith. Returning to that place where we just dance around the cross and sing and hug and say, let's play a game. Let's play a game. Help us have childlike hearts this week to just come and to embrace you. To come and say, we're not as smart as you. We can't figure this out. And to come up to you and say, we're too short. We can't reach you. Can you pick us up? We're not strong enough. And we're scared of the dark. And we need somebody to come be with us. Somebody to reassure us. Somebody to remind us. It's amazing to think that when you could have done great things to talk about really religious people or great things to say about really adults, you just said, let the children come to me. And I pray that our hearts could rest this week and relax, and that you would finish the work in our heart that you started through your word, which would be to flip our picture upside down and say that the way to grow up is to be like little children. The way to be born again is to be like little children. The way to handle the messes and the mysteries and the pains of life is to be like little children. Thank you for the picture you gave us, Holy Spirit. We praise you because we do our work as adults to try to lead worship and bring it before you as an act of praise in every bit. And we think through that. And then you say, I'm working. And kids start heading to the front. And you've given us all the message that we needed to hear by showing it to us with our eyes. And we praise you for these good works you've done and give you all the glory and the honor. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.